Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more about Alive Church or Pastor Derek, please visit alivechurchoc.org or derekdunn.org. You could also follow us on your favorite social media platform at Alive Church OC or Derek Dunn OC.
I've been fasting, praying this week, and praying for the church, praying for business, praying for our missions as we go this week into the missions field. And I'm so expectant on what God is doing. And you know, there's things you can't take with you in your next season. There's some people you can't take with you. God's got to shift relationships around sometimes because they're not willing to live where you're called to live. Some of y'all got real quiet right now.
Oh, but I like her. She's so cute.
Well, God's cuter, amen. But God is better. Amen. God is greater. The enemy of best is great. There's always something better. And so sometimes, not that we cut off relationships and we don't want to do that, but sometimes, and I've journeyed in life, through life, and had great friends through high school, through colleges. I went to two different colleges and different places. But not everybody wants to keep journeying. And so what happens? It just happens, if you keep moving on, what they camp and stay there at the well, and you move on and start digging some new wells. And so that's just a part of life. Sometimes the way of we're praying, we can't come into that next level if we don't come up in our prayer level. We can't come into the level of influence God is wanting us to have if we don't come into another level of holiness. So God's requiring something greater in us. And I'm not talking about just sin. Of course, we should overcome sin. But what is holiness? Are we separated to God? Maybe we need to worship a little bit more. Maybe we need to pray a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe God's saying, come on, double your giving. Yeah. Thank you for those two amens. Come on, what is God asking of us? I love, you know, Mary, when she wanted they were out of wine, what did she do? She turned to the servant and says, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. And we're like, Jesus, just speak to me. And he speaks and we don't do it. Oh, I don't want to do that. Can you imagine? Take the dirty dishwasher water, the dishwasher. That's what most theologians believe. And they took it and he turns it into the best tasting wine ever. Wow. Think about it. Yeah. Bring the water. That was the water that, I'm not saying it was dirty dishes, but it was the water used probably for, they were going to wash the dishes after the wedding feast, you know, and they're out of wine. So I'm not saying it was, you know, but that was what it was reserved for. Sometimes we reserve our things, our life, and things in our life for something that God is not destined it for. Are you here?
Yeah.
I got my rainy day fund. Well, God's like, I don't want it to be a rainy day fund. I want it to be a rain outpouring, a blessing that you don't have room to contain. Well, today's my day. I play golf, and God's like, why don't you spend some time with me? I just love the beach. Well, do you love Jesus more? Are you here? I felt like I'm going to binge my favorite TV show this week. Well, what if God's saying get into the Word? Yeah. What if God's saying go and witness to someone? And so as we surrender our lives to God, and we do it because, I don't know about you, I just want to be where God is.
Amen.
We're going to travel I'm going to be on the plane 20 hours. Why? Because there's a move of God. And so we travel around the world. We do those things. And it's exciting until you've done it. I remember when I first got my passport and I'm going to get on an international flight. It was so exciting. Now it's like, Lord, help me. Give me grace. Are you here? Because I've been there, done that. It lost the nostalgia of it. But are we surrendered to God? Sometimes it means time away from our family. It's not a sacrifice that we're dragging our feet the only way. It's because we see the greater Lord's glory. Because of the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. So if you're going through some things, just endure. Stop grumbling and complaining. You might get out of your situation faster. Come on, children of Israel, grumbling and complaining.
Patsy, it's so difficult. Oh, yeah, Chris, it's so hot. Oh, Troy, it's just, we keep eating manna. Why don't we get something else?
Are you here?
Yeah.
You brought us out here to die, Lord, to California.
Are you here? Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know what he's talking about. Come on. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I can feel it. Why don't you start changing your confession? Come on, this is the promised land. This is a land of milk and honey. This is a land of abundance. Come on, there's some wealthy people here. Come on.
Yeah.
And if they're wealthy, why can't I be wealthy? If they're successful, why can't I be successful? Why can't I have true things? And believe in religion says, oh, just have just enough. But come on, we don't want to not be able to receive what God has given to us, far above what you can think or imagine. I don't know about you, I got a good imagination. But God is bigger. God is greater. Come on, God has amazing things in store for us. Amen? Well, I'm so excited. My book is out today. Flame of the Spirit. And so afterwards, I'll be signing books out there. If you want to do it, buy it for someone. And today, I'm going to kind of preach on the theme of that. The title of my message is Flame of the Spirit, Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the fire burning. Turn to your neighbor and say, is your fire burning? You know, when you got fire burning, you can see it in people's eyes. When you got fire, you lift your eyebrows. When you got fire, there's the flame. Come on, when you first saw that girl and you liked her, you had fire. You were smiling, like every hair's in place. You showered twice. You put your foo-foo on. Brushed your teeth. Come on, some of y'all know what a foo-foo is. My dad used to call foo-foo your cologne, your perfume. You know, you want to look nice. You want to look fine. You want to, because you're in pursuit of something. Come on, but after 20 years of marriage, are you still having that pursuit? Come on. Go back. Do the same things you did in the beginning. The Bible says if you lost your first love, same thing can happen. We come to God. We get saved. It's so exciting. We were like, you know, we feel amazing and we get touched by God. And we did a ministry session this week with someone and, you know, he texted Pastor Chris afterwards and said, I keep smiling. My face hurts. But come on, are you going to keep smiling a week from now, 2 weeks from now? Are you going to keep smiling 20 years? I've been walking with the Lord for over 36 years, like in ministry and serving God with all my heart. But I'm more on fire today than I ever was 20 years ago. Come on. And I got more wisdom. I've got more humility because I've been through some stuff. Are you here? And so we need to keep the fire burning. It's not for it to go out. Amen. We're called to become lifetime carriers of his presence. What is the fire of God? It's the passion for God. It's the anointing. It's the flow of the Holy Spirit that's in our life. I mean, when I first got filled in the Spirit, man, I couldn't stop praying in tongues. I was praying in tongues around the clock and praying in tongues under my breath. And praying. I was like, this is so cool. And it felt great. My mind's like, you are crazy. You're talking gibberish. You don't know what you're doing. But my spirit, I felt like the floodgate of heaven had opened. I felt like there were rivers flowing out of my life. I was like, this is awesome. My prayer came to another level. But what happens if we're not careful? We can get into prayerlessness. And we lose the fire. We lose the passion. We lose the pursuit of God. And so we've got to keep the flame of the Spirit alive. In Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12, this is the Old Testament example. We know that they built the temple. And what happened? The fire of God came down upon the altar. It was God initiated on the altar. And the fire came down. And we can't earn salvation. We can't pay for the baptism of the Holy Spirit like the sons of Sceva tried to do. It's freely received. But once we receive it, it's our job to steward it. Amen. And the Bible says in Leviticus 6 and verse 12, I put it up. It says the fire on the altar must be kept burning. Someone say must be kept burning. It says it must not go out. And that's the problem in the church today. We've let the fire go out. We've watered it down with religion. We watered it down with seeker-sensitive Christianity. It's more about our coffee cart and our pastries and people complaining because the donuts were too hard. Then the presence of God and the power of God, then the encounter with God and the timing of our services rather than like, we're going to stay here till God shows up. Right. Can you imagine Jacob wrestling with God? God, your 45 minutes is up. He probably wouldn't have got touched by the power of God. And I'm not saying we waste time. And, you know, I've been in places, there's no momentum. They're just hovering. I was in a meeting this week and it's like, let's go in or let's get out. Yeah. Don't just be hovering. And we need to go in and we need to accomplish what God wants to do. And there's waves of his presence and his, you know, there's flows of God that are there. And so we need to experience those things, but we got to keep the fire burning. It must not go out. This is the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. Someone say continuously. Don't let the fire of God go out in your life. Don't let anything steal your fire. I don't care if there's suffering. The Bible says nothing will separate us from the love of God. And when you're in love, there's a fire, there's a passion. Yeah. Come on, y'all remember? Yeah. You're passionate. There's something that burns on the inside of you. Serving is not something that's a chore. I can't wait to help serve the God. We've got interns, this summer. My nephew was here. He went back last week. And Tristan and Grant are interning in the church. And here, they just love serving God. Grant showed up on a Friday. I'm like, you're not supposed to be here. He's like, well, I want to be here. And so what happens? You're passionate about what you're doing. And that's great when you're in your teens, but are you still that in your 40s? Are you still that in your 50s? Keep the passion alive. Don't let the flame go out. We can all remember, maybe it was a youth camp, a conference, an encounter night. It was a seminar that we went to, or maybe went on a missions trip and we got on fire. I remember when I first received the fire of God, the call of God came in my life. I was on a missions trip in Haiti, and many of you have heard me share about it. And I went there, my mom was going, and she's like, I'll pay your way. And I'm like, oh, I want to go. I always wanted to travel, but it was more for a holiday. I wasn't thinking about missions. But I'm like, okay, I'll take it. And so I got to go, and I went there, and we were there doing medical clinics, and I got to practice on oranges of putting injections and giving people shots, and learning how to do it because it's similar, and that's how doctors, nurses practice sometimes. And I'm shooting people up and giving them their immunizations and all this stuff. It was cool, and we were doing stuff. And then at night we'd have meetings and we'd pray for the sick, and people would get healed, and people getting spirit filled, and people are doing this stuff. And I was there for about a week. I think it was probably 5 to 7 days, and it was amazing. And something came alive in my life. And one day they got me to share a testimony, and I got up and shared. And after sharing that testimony, people were like, "Y'all, you are called to preach, boy." I'm like, I ain't called to preach. What? I wasn't even thinking about being a preacher. I was going to be a banker or a lawyer, make lots of money. And I came back and went back to work and went back to college, and I was miserable. So what am I doing? I was driving a new car. I just bought my own car. I was doing well, successfully, had a nice girl I was dating. And I was there, and I was miserable. And I was like, God, God said, this is not what I've called you to do. So I broke up with the girl because she wasn't called, and I was. And I went to college and went to Bible school, and my dad told me, what are you doing? You're crazy. Haven't you ever heard you're going to be poorer than a church mouse? He's like, you're lighting this thing. And I said, well, God told me he's going to provide. God's called me. And he said, well, if God's going to provide, let him provide, because I ain't providing. And he cut me off. And so I had to live by faith. It was difficult, but I didn't lose the passion. I didn't lose the joy. And then the Lord called me to California, and we came out to California, and that's where I met Pastor Troy, and we were there in a charter class of a Bible school here, and I saw these guys parachuting out of a plane. Remember that advertisement? And it's like, this could be you. Step into your destiny. I'm like, let's go. The Lord told me, I'm calling you to this place. And so I didn't even know how I was going to get there. I had my little Jeep convertible with a leather top, and drove all the way across through Arizona and all those places. I mean, you could fry an egg on my top. Thank God I had air conditioning. It was going full the whole time. It was so hot. Got out of here with a few hundred dollars and didn't even know where I was going to live. But God provided. I had a place to sleep that night, and I went to the school, and I'm like, I need a roommate. They're like, well, you got to find your own roommate. And while I'm there, someone called the dean, said, I'm looking for a roommate. I said, here I am. They wired me the money that afternoon, and I put it down on an apartment and moved in. God provided, and I can tell you story after story after story. And then God called me to go to Asia, and I went to Asia, and we were supposed to be there 6 months, and we were there for 18 years in a move of God. And then God says, come back to California, and we come back, and there's been battles. It was a battle in 2011, getting a house after the housing crisis, and all my documents are overseas documents, and they want this and that, and praying for the mortgage and getting all this. There's been battles, getting a church, getting a building, there's been battles, but it's amazing. What an adventure, what a journey it is. And come on, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. And so we've got to keep the passion alive. Don't just have an experience. Well, I remember when I was 15 and I went to, a middle school, camp and got touched by the Lord. Well, you're 55 now. What's been happening since then? Come on, there's fresh encounters. We're called to go from faith to faith. We're called to go from glory to glory. Amen? Passion can become routine. And we replace passion with routine. Hunger becomes familiarity. We come to a place where Fire is a memory. And we're just talking about the good old days. How do you know people are there? Because they sing the song from the 80s when they encountered God. But God says, it's a new song. We want to go back and tell where people stop growing and where they stop encountering God by the songs they sing.
Why can't we sing that good old song?
It's a great song, but there's been like 50, 100 written since then.
Well, I just like the old days.
Don't live in the old days. Come on. Appreciate the old days. The old brings us into the new. We can't get to where we're at now if we don't do it on the Father. But we got it. Some churches, you go to the churches, they're like, they still live in the 1980s. The women have the poofy hair. They're still dressing the same fashion. So it's like they're in a time warp. Because that's what they got. And they're not open to anything else. Well, we believe, many of the Word of Faith churches, well, let's just quote the Word, quote the Word. Well, quote the Word and then move in the Spirit. Come on, the prophetic movement happened after the Word of Faith movement. After that, there's an apostolic movement. After that, it's the equipping of the saints through the church, and God's restoring a strong church. Don't just stay back into that. Well, the voice of healing days. I've been there. We'll prophesy over 5 people, and that's all we can do. What? Because that's how they did it back in the day. Oh, we only do presbytery over 5 people. Five people. That's it. That's all we got anointing for. Yeah. And because of our mindset, because of our tradition, we stay. And God will still honor us and move in that level. But come on, there's more. Come on, somebody say there's more. Tell your neighbor there's more for you. But we've got to lay hold of it. The question is not, has God stopped sending his fire? The question is, have we learned how to steward it? The fire came down on the altar, but they had the responsibility to keep the fire burning. When Moses met God, what happened? There was a burning bush. When Elijah confronted Baal, he called down fire from heaven. When Solomon dedicated the temple, as we saw, fire came down into the temple. Are you here? Amen. The disciples waited in the upper room, and what happened? There were tongues of fire that appeared on each and every one of them, and they began to speak in tongues. Well, I don't know about speaking in tongues. Well, don't have any fire then. That's how God chose to do it. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Well, don't get the fire then. I don't care. Why did God do it? Because if we can't yield our tongue to him, we can't yield nothing to him. That's what I believe. Come on, the Bible says your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Oh, our tongues have destroyed nations. Our tongues have destroyed marriages. This power, life and death, as it was said this morning, in the power of the tongue. Amen? So fire has always been a picture of God's presence, of God's holiness, of God's power, of God's approval, of God's purifying in our lives. Come on, we need the fire in our life. The great challenge is this. We got to keep it burning. Anyone can get on fire. Anyone can have an encounter. And I know people, they've had an encounter, and we had amazing encounters through the 13 years of our church, and people coming out and stepping out of their chairs and falling and shaking and upstabbing. But then where are they now? Some of them are not even here today. Oh my gosh, I'm so on fire. Where are they now? Because they allowed things to come in. They didn't keep and protect the fire. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it will flow the issues of life. What's your heart? That's where the fire is. You got to keep the fire burning. If you don't guard the fire, what will happen? You'll lose the fire. And that's why I wrote Flame of the Spirit, because I believe God's wanting to revive the church. There's hungry people out there. Some pastors, they've been in this model, and they don't know what to do to get the fire. So I put this together to help people to be able to do it, to help individuals, to help the church, and help individuals that we can stay hot. Come on, everyone likes to be called hot. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're hot. Come on. But be hot for the right reason. Don't be hot in the worldly sense. Soka students, come on. Be hot because you're on fire for God. Find a person. It's not just outward beauty. It's not outward charisma. But there's a fire. There's a passion for God. And that we love God with all of our heart, with all our strength. And we're willing to go all out for the Lord. Keep that fire burning in your life. 4 keys to keeping the fire burning. Number one, you got to understand the fire begins with encounter. In Acts 2 verse 1, I mentioned on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, that's what happens. You don't plan it out. But if you're hungry from God, you can be pressed. It's like nothing's happening. Come on, they were there 40 days. Day 39, nothing's going on. They're still pressing in. And at day 40, all of a sudden, heaven opens up, a wind blows in, fire, that's the Holy Spirit. But they had to come to the place of unity. They had to come to the place to get out mixture in their lives. There was a sound from heaven. It filled the whole room where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Someone say fire.
Fire.
It separated and came out to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, maybe we're not. Well, I'm not getting my breakthrough. Well, I'm not really hearing from God. Well, maybe you're not seeking wholeheartedly. Is it a good idea? Is it just something we do because our grandma did it? We learned something from someone else. You know, Pastor Chris told me to do it, so I'm just going to try it. No, you can't do it just because of that. It's got to be a pursuit. It's got to come from our heart. Yeah, are you here? I can buy my wife flowers and do something for my wife. You're like, well, that worked for Pastor Derek. I'm going to go try it. And you flopped it. She don't even like flowers. Come on. My wife used to not like flowers. She's like, don't waste money on flowers. Now she loves flowers. Because I'm like, I don't care. You got to give flowers. And now she loves them. You know, she's got a green thumb now. And so what happens? We've got to keep doing it and putting God first in our life. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Not they might be, they will be filled. If we're hungering for God, what is righteousness? To be in right standing with God, right where he is, right now, doing what God wants us to do in that moment, flowing with him the way he wants to flow. What does he say? We're going to be filled. Genuine fire begins with God. You can't manufacture it. If you try to manufacture it, it becomes strange fire. It becomes mixture. And it doesn't produce anything. Before there was preaching, there was praying. Before there was miracles, they're surrendered lives. Anybody who moves in the power of God, they got a journey they've been on, where they went through. Many people moved in great healing gifts. They were on their deathbed and suffered and got into faith and pioneered something in their life. And now they have faith for other people because God's done it for them. Before there was power, there's always the waiting. On the day of Pentecost, they were waiting. They were one accord, seeking God. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop seeking right before your breakthrough comes. I've shared this before, but Daniel, he started praying on day 21. The angel was released, but the angel only showed up and delivered on day 21. He said there was war in the heavenlies. There was resistance, but because you kept praying, you didn't stop. Here's the breakthrough. Here's the answer. Come on. Don't just get excited in the hype of breakthrough. We can all talk about faith and shout the house down, amen, but then Monday we go back to work. How are we going to stop faith on Tuesday? Amen. Are we going to stop faith on Wednesday? Fan your faith. Feed your faith. Fan the flame in your life so it doesn't just become an ember. Are you here? God still responds to hungry people. He still responds to hungry hearts. And we were talking in this week, we did a coffee talks and with some of the guys, and we were talking about all the miracles and the things we've seen and why does it happen? Sometimes it doesn't happen so much here. Why? Because we ain't bringing nobody sick. Are you here? Anybody in a wheelchair today? Anybody lame? Anybody deaf? Anybody blind? Nobody. Well, how are we going to pray and get them healed? The blind eyes will open. There ain't no blind people. And it's not just in the mission field. I went to Irvine Church, you know, 2-3 months back. I was preaching there, and we had a lady who was deaf and dumb, and God opened her ears when we prayed for her. But thank God someone invited her. Are we expectant? Are we still believing God? If we're not, we're not going to see miracles. Are you here? The fire begins through repentance. It comes through surrender. It comes through hunger. And it comes then through the filling and the expectation that God is going to move in our lives. Amen? So if we want to see, keep the fire burning in our life, what must we do? We've got to understand that it begins with an encounter, but it doesn't stop there. Don't let it end with the encounter. Keep the encounter alive. And we have encounter meetings every year. And this beginning of the year, how many of y'all fasted and prayed? And we had such a powerful move of God. But guess what? It's July already. You've been feasting and complaining. Come on. Maybe it's time to fast some more. Well, I started the year well. This year hasn't gone the way I thought it would go. Come on, there's been ups and downs and things happening and God doing things and, you know, God bringing the alignment he said he would bring so we can keep moving forward in what God has for us. But come on, you got to keep fasting. Maybe you should do a fast in July. I said, maybe you should do a fast in July. Not out of religiosity, but, well, I only fast in January because it's the beginning of the year. Well, come on. You got to keep fasting. You need more power. You need more clarity. You've lost the clarity you had at the beginning of the year. Get into fasting and praying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not breaking through my worship. Fast and pray. My business isn't breaking through. Fast and pray.
Yeah.
Come on, because what does it do? It gets us into clarity. It's not a hunger strike.
Yeah.
God, I'm not, you know, I'm going to do a fast until you move. No. It gets us into the place where we're positioned, where we're keeping the fire of God, and we have clarity in what God is wanting us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, the second thing we must do, we must understand that the fire is fueled on the altar. We look at Leviticus, it said the fire on the altar must keep burning. It's always about the altar. In 1 Kings in chapter 18 and verse 30, Elijah, he repaired the altar of the Lord first. When he came against the prophets of Baal, he repaired the altar first, and then the fire came. We want the fire, and then, okay, give me some fire, and then I'll go to the altar. No, the fire's found at the altar. You got to repair the altar. What's the altar in your life? It's your consecration. It's not just the front of the stage here. This is an altar, but you have your altar. I have an altar. My altar is my living room. That's where I do my quiet time. I've had my locker during college was my walk-in closet because that's the only place I could be quiet and get away from roommates and people. Are you here? What's that place? Go into the secret place, the Bible says, where no one knows, and God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Get into that place of seeking and building the altar. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I therefore urge you, I beseech you, I urgently plead with you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you would offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable and your true and proper worship, your reasonable service, one translation says. What is our worship? We give God our bodies.
Yeah.
Are you here? We give God a work. Work is worship. We're willing to use our energy, our strength. We love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all that's in us, our mind, our will, our emotions are there upon the Lord. Amen? Nothing begins to happen if there's not an altar. Well, I want God to just bless me. If he blessed me and gives me $1 million, then I'll start tithing. It ain't going to happen. Are you here? You got to bring your tithe first. You got to bring your sacrifice first. And, well, I don't like that. I don't like it either. But I've learned it works.
Yes.
Are you here? And that's how we are. It's like you do your part and then I'll do my part. No. Sometimes you got to do your part first. God is a motion sensitive God. As you speak, he moves. As you give, he moves. As you serve, he works with you. As you pray, heaven is open up. Come on. As you offer thanksgiving before, you have something to be thankful for. We always have something to be thankful for, but maybe it's not your breakthrough yet. Your prayer has not been answered yet. I still thank God. I thank God right now as I pray. I've received it. And do your little dance.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. Before it happens. It's so easy to. Anybody can praise God when the breakthrough came. Woohoo! Got the check in the mail. I got the promotion. Hey, she said yes, and I put a ring on it. Woo! But are you able to rejoice when you're single? Are you able to rejoice when you haven't seen the breakthrough? Come on, that's what faith is. That's the altar that brings the fire. Come on, believe that. Give the Lord a shout. Amen. God sends revival when we tend the altar. What's the altar today? It's our prayer. It's our worship. It's our consecration to the word, our obedience, our personal devotion. Are you here? Many people want revival, but few are willing to build an altar. And it wasn't taught so much in Bible school. We taught stir up your gift and develop your gift. And we learned all these things and spiritual activities. But we didn't learn about dying to the flesh. Because that wasn't so exciting. But I learned to die to the flesh. We didn't learn to be faithful in what belongs to another man. Before God gives you your own, you have to be tested. The faithfulness test. We skip over the faithfulness and the little. We're just like, all right, let's be faithful over much. Because we think we've always been faithful. You ain't been faithful. You've been faithful for 5 minutes. That's not faithfulness.
Right. Yeah.
Got to be faithful. I was faithful in what belonged to another man for 16 and a half years.
Yeah.
Are you here? And happy doing it. Are you here? But God, there's a test that we have to go through, and it's not always according to our time. I'm not saying you have to do it the way God did it with me, but we got to go through the test. There's a test of faithfulness. Amen?
Yeah.
God didn't bring the fire until Elijah restored what was broken down. Number three, the fire grows through fresh and filling. We've got to have surrendered altars. But as we're in that place, we've got to understand there's a fresh and filling. Some people think, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. Well, you ain't got no fire. You speak in tongues, but your character's terrible. Are you here? Nobody cares that you speak in tongues when you're rude and you're mean and you lie and you cheat. Come on, that's not the thing. Well, I can prophesy. Yeah, but you got no accountability. You live a life of rebellion. Your life's a mess. You're in sexual immorality. Who cares about your gift? Come on, it's like your daddy gave you a nice car and you're driving around in this nice car, but you don't have a job. You're getting evicted. You can't even manage your own life. But look at me. Woohoo. Look at my gift. You did nothing to receive that. But what is it? The altars were surrendered to God. Yeah, develop your gift, but let God work in your character. Let God deal with your heart. Learn to endure hardship as a good soldier. Are you here? And know that God's producing something on the inside of us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Are you here? Why do people get drunk? You know, nobody likes beer when they first taste it.
Right.
I tasted it and never went back. No, it's terrible. You might like it. It's an acquired taste. But why did they drink beer? Because they got drunk. Yeah. Oh, y'all are real quiet. Come on. And come on, you do it. What? Because you like the feeling. It's the same thing. Don't get drunk to get that feeling. Come on, come to God and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Build an altar so you can get the fire of God. You can get the Most High God. Come on. Some of y'all didn't like that, but that's what he's talking about. He's comparing it to the old life. Say that, don't do that. And you get a hangover, or you get addicted, and you get, you know, all this stuff happens. But come to God and separate your life and put your life on the altar and do that. And what will happen? You'll be filled. And the Bible actually, it says continuously filled.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time event. Are you here? Yeah. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. It's not about getting filled once. Well, I went to the altar, I got filled with the Spirit at 7. But how many times I've been filled since then? Hundreds, thousands. I can't live off of what happened at 7. It was amazing. It got the fire burning. But come on, I got to keep fanning the flame and get around other people that are on fire, and that fire becomes contagious. We become fire starters. I'm called the fire starter in the nations because I get around people. What happens? You want fire to come in. When you leave, you want them to keep starting fires. Are you here? The Greek actually means keep on being filled. So the Christian life is not about a one-time event. It's not about yesterday's encounter. Today there's a day of encounter. Today there's a fresh touch from heaven. Today there's a fresh revelation. I know some preachers, they're preaching stuff they've been preaching 10 years ago. I heard one preacher and, you know, hadn't heard him in a while, and they're like, I heard that message 20 years ago. I heard that message 30 years ago. Why, there's no fresh manna. There's no that. They stopped the encounter in that place. I rarely preach messages more than once. When I travel, I do. Because I got so much stuff. I got stuff down the line. I was showing Pastor Chris yesterday stuff. I'm like, but it's, y'all ain't ready for that yet, you know? I got to wait for the right timing for it. You know, not that it's some revelation, but like people may see it the wrong way, or they may do. But as I'm journeying and going through life, you know, maybe it's a bit too soon to release it because people think I'm talking about this. But God's working in my life. He's giving me revelation. And it's a whole nother level that's coming because, come on, when you receive something, Pastor Mike was here, he talked about fatherhood, and I started studying. I get a whole nother revelation. It opens up a stream of revelation and talking about sonship. And then the Lord started talking to me, what's the difference between an orphan and a foster child? I'll give it to you one day, not now. All right. It's revelation started coming, and I started having an understanding of how we relate. And sometimes, you know, we relate to God in that way. And God's using the things in our life to bring out wells that other people can drink from us. Amen? The Christian life is not about living off yesterday's encounter. They got filled in Acts chapter 2. You go to Acts chapter 4, they got filled again. They got filled later when they had a prayer meeting. There was fresh boldness. There was fresh power as they had dependency from God. And God began, you know, things came against them. They came together and they shouted unto God. They prayed and the place was shaken and they were all filled again. It was a constant encountering of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God has fresh oil. Come on, God has fresh strength. You need some strength. Can't live off last week's strength. I need a fresh and filling of strength every week. Sunday, we're always on a high. Monday, I call it the slapback. You wake up Monday morning and it's like all your anointing drained, you're tired, you gotta go, and I got meeting at 11 o'clock Zoom and I gotta stir myself up again. I was hearing about, you know, one pastor this, you know, I was trying to connect with this pastor and like, oh, he's on sabbatical for 2 months. I'm like, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. We're not there yet. Maybe one day, Lord. But like, you know, it's like, that's what you feel like. I'm ready for a sabbatical. Have a rest. Come on, can we be real? But guess what? There's new strength because the Sunday's the first day of the week. I can encounter God and I come, and it's really, to me, I look at my last day of the week on Sunday because everything's gearing up towards Sunday. And wow, it's a new week. But guess what? You need new strength for the new week. You need a new anointing for the new week. You need a new revelation. You can't live off last week. I got to prepare a new sermon this week. I got to have a new counseling session. I got to have a new business idea. I got to have something fresh, and we're pressing in for that every single week. Fresh and filling, fresh intimacy every single day.
Amen.
Thank you for those three amens on the front row. That's your Christian life. We're presence driven. Not just encountering the presence in the church, but you come and learn and encounter corporately so you can encounter God every day of the week. Monday there's an encounter, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but you got to get in prayer. And I can tell some of y'all ain't praying. Some of y'all are not worshiping. But we've got to get into that place, not as a duty, but as a delight.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a duty at first because there's other stuff you can do and your flesh doesn't feel like it. Come on, when I start reading my Bible, the phone's going off, everything's going off, so I put it on do not disturb. That's what it's there for.
Yes.
Are you here? And my wife can get through. There's an emergency, they can get me, but do not disturb, because my phone does not dictate my life. The Holy Spirit does.
That's right.
And begin to plug in. Maybe it means getting up a little bit earlier. Maybe it means going to bed a little bit later. But you can't live this life, especially in the world that we're living now when things are getting darker, if you're not encountering the Lord.
Yes.
And I'll say it has to be 5 hours every day. Sometimes start with 15 minutes. Build up. I don't even clock my time. I pray until I'm done. Sometimes hours passes by. Sometimes I get there real quick. It's not religiosity. It's the quality, not the quantity. And that's true love. You know, when you're dating as a young person, it's all about clocking time. But when you're mature love, it's about quality. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. One day. We've got to have that quality when we're encountering the Lord. Amen? God is not running out of fire. But he's looking for people that will keep seeking him and say, I want more fire. How many of you want more fire? Come on, tell the Lord, I want more fire. And finally, number four, I'd like the musicians to come. The fire must be guarded. The fire must be guarded. What do we learn? Number one, the fire begins with us with a what? Encounter. Number two, the fire's fueled on the altar. Number three, the fire flows through fresh and filling. And number four, the fire must be guarded. So important. I'm tired of people losing their fire. I'm tired of people backsliding. I'm tired of people getting taken out because they didn't fan the flame. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, Paul told him, for this reason I remind you, Timothy, fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. One translation says, stir up the gift of God. Fan the flame. Keep it going. How do you do that? Pray in tongues. You know, I can be in meetings and, you know, it's dead and nothing's much happened, but I can begin to prime the pump. I can begin to start fanning the flame. And what happened? The gifts of the Spirit comes. Things have to come. You got to stir it up. But if you don't use it, if you don't go to that place, it takes a lot of time. So people say, Pastor, how can you get there so quick? Because I don't go very long without getting there. It took me a long time to get there. I would pray and walk the floor and not feel anything and be like, how come God's talking to everyone else and not me? You hear people, they're like, the Lord spoke. I'm like, Lord, it's like they have a Batman hotline to you, you know? And like, what about me? But I kept praying. I kept hungry. I'm like, God, I want to know you. And all of a sudden, one day, there was an encounter. All of a sudden, heaven opened up to me. And I haven't looked back since then. We got to keep pressing. God's looking. The Holy Spirit's looking. Yeah, the person says they want you. Yeah, we've had like 50 million people say they want us. But But guess what? They don't follow through. They want us for 10 minutes because it's emotion. But are we willing to stay, and we're willing to go, and we're willing to like be Jacob? And we're like, God, we're not going to let go until you fill us. Like Jacob will wrestle with God until you bless me. What's the blessing? It's not money, friends. That's the lowest blessing. It's the presence of God. It's the encounter with the Lord. That's the blessing of God. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Don't let anything steal your fire. Don't let the cares of this world, the pride of life, the deceitfulness of riches, don't let anyone steal your joy and your fire. Romans 12 verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Where's your fervor level today? Where's your passion level today? It's not here to condemn you. It's here to push you a little bit. Fan your ember of the flame and get the fire burning in your life. Amen. Paul was speaking to his spiritual son in the faith, Timothy, because Paul had journeyed. Paul had many opportunities to lose the fire of God. Come on, he's in jail. He's shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned, talked bad about. I mean, all the whole list of the things he went through. But guess what? The fire of God was in his life. The enemy rarely extinguishes passion overnight. But what happens? He distracts us. He allows compromise to come in, and we start looking, being envious, or here in Orange County in this territory where there's just so much materialism. Everything's plastic. And we're thinking we're missing out. How come they're blessed? How come I'm serving God? And we look at this and look at that and get caught up, and we talk to people, go to the gym, and everybody acts like they got it together. One inch below the surface, there lies a mess. Not everybody. Are you here? The passion doesn't end overnight. It starts when prayer becomes optional. It stops when we start cherry picking the word of God and only the things that make us comfortable. When we allow offenses to settle in our heart. Don't get offended. I'm not going to be offended with anybody. You want to be offended with me? Okay, but I'm not going to be offended with you. I might be for 5 minutes. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to, why? Because I don't want anything to hinder the flow of God. I'm not going to have strife with my wife, because the Bible says when I go to the altar, I got to leave my gift and go work it out. How long have you been doing that? 6 years? Well, that's a long time to leave your gift sitting at the altar and not be missing out on what God has for you. The Bible says your prayers are unhindered. You're hindered. Don't deal with offense. Well, that person got, you know. Who cares? Leave them to the Lord. Getting rid of the offense, forgiveness is my part. But I'm not going to allow anything to come to my heart. Familiarity. We can become over-familiar. Gehazi was over-familiar with the prophet. What happened? He wanted the reward after the healing happened. They wanted to bless. And what did the prophet say? He said, no, it's not time for that. So he went along, and then Gehazi said, oh, I'm going to go back. I forgot something. And he went back and told the man. He said, the prophet changed his mind. What did he do? He went for that which it was not the right time for. He got out of timing because he couldn't trust God. And what happened? He went back to Elijah. I mean, it's pretty stupid when you're working for a prophet to do something like that, seriously. And he's like, where'd you go? Oh, I went back. And the Lord said, he went back and took what you told him not to take. And because of that, he's done. And what happened? He broke out in leprosy. And guess what? You never hear from him again. But who was Elijah? Elijah's like, wherever you go, my father, I'm going to see you when you die. I want a double portion. And what happened? Elijah's like, it's okay. Go back. You don't have to keep following me. But he followed him from place to place to place to place. And what happened? He became a son. And he got the double portion. Right here. He wanted the fire. He wanted what Elijah had, you know. And we look to God. But sometimes there's those around us. Don't become over familiar with your Connect group leader. Don't be over familiar with your ministry leader. Familiar with the pastors, or you know, I have great relationships with Apostle Les and Apostle Mike and many men of God around the world, but I don't become over familiar. The closer I get, I see their humanity, because the treasures in earthen vessels, I'm not talking about sin, but they're human. But I don't become over familiar. I know who they are in God and what they carry. Because of that, I've been able to receive from the Lord. Some men of God, and you know, I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they do things. I'm not going to do my ministry that way. But they got something from the Lord. So I can filter all those things to lay a hold. There's some quirky people out there, amen, that God uses. Come on, tell your neighbor there's hope for you. Come the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Are you here? So don't get caught up with that and become critical and in that, you know, and then we miss out on what God has for us. Amen. Little by little, the flame weakens. Samson didn't lose his strength in one moment. It was a process because he kept going back to Delilah and she was out to destroy him. Long before his hair was cut, his consecration was already compromised. His outward collapse happened because of the inward fall. I put this up for you very quickly. What are some fire killers' offense? Get the slide, guys. There we go. Offense, compromise, distraction, familiarity, spiritual laziness, wrong associations, neglecting God's presence. Don't become overfamiliar with the presence of God. We come in and people, we can be overfamiliar with what happens here. I go around with some meetings and things, and I'm biased. I'm not critical, but like what we have and the presence of God and what we experience in worship, and you don't find that everywhere. You don't find that everywhere. Don't be overfamiliar. Don't be overfamiliar with the fact you can go for a connect group and people will put up with your nonsense or your neighbor's nonsense. Still love you. Still be there for you. Still pray for you, you know, and you ain't paying them. Are you here? How do we fan the flame? I put it up for you. You got to pray in the Spirit. Next slide. Pray in the Spirit. You got to stay in the Word. Keep your mind renewed. We've got to worship consistently. We've got to gather faithfully with other believers. You know, sometimes we're fall sick and there's some people sick this morning, they're not. People are traveling and you know they're busy. That's fine. But don't be at home and be over familiar and you don't show up and you don't come before the Lord, not as a religious thing, but because it's a good habit. And then you wonder why your kids don't want to serve God because you let them sleep in when they're tired. Where sports becomes more important. And you neglect the house of God, and then you wonder why don't they love Jesus? Because you taught them wrongly. Can we get real? My kids, I tell them, you live in my house, you go to Connect Group, you come to Sunday service, and you serve. We taught them that since they were little kids, and they're all doing it. And now they do it without us telling them. They do it, Lord, I'm like, you're serving a lot. Can you, you know, come on. Like, you need one ministry, not three. Come on, you know. And there's a passion that's there. We need to, but like, because you train a child the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. Pastor Troy sent me a Instagram post, I think, a few weeks ago. And it was some guy saying, you know, the people don't like to come to your youth ministry because it's not exciting. You need to make it more exciting. And, you know, and we should be exciting. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not like, I love, let's have fun. Let's do it well. But how do you define excitement? If I'm just trying to entertain and try to, you know, do with the world and try to keep people's attention span and try, I can have this super exciting thing and God's not in it. Are you here? And I'm not talking about being dead and dull. If you're just, you know, and there's no life, there's no new ideas, everything's boring. I'm not talking about that. Do God, Holy Spirit spontaneous, but don't just try to be like the world, copy the world. I need the LED screen. We don't have LED screens because we don't need one. Our house is not that big. And our new building will have one, I believe. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because it helps people to engage. But I don't want to have it just to like, oh, we've got this and it's about this and this and we made it as a church because we've got this technology. You can't keep up. It's outdated 6 months from now. Yeah. Come on, y'all are still, some of y'all thinking about the iPhone. You got the iPhone last year in October and you're looking for this year. The new one's coming out. We always want the latest and the, you know, we're following the shiny coin. Don't go after the coin. Go after God. Are you here? And so, we got to stay in the Word. We got to worship consistently. We got to gather faithfully with other believers. We got to obey immediately. Big one. Be quick to respond. Go to the slide again, guys. Obey immediately. We've got to serve wholeheartedly. And very important, finally, we got to pursue His presence daily. What must we do? Pray in the Spirit. Stay in the Word. Worship consistently. Know the how do we fan the flame slides, God. How do we fan the flame? Pray in the Spirit. There you go. Pray in the Spirit. Stay in the Word. I know y'all haven't taken your pictures yet. Worship consistently. Gather faithfully with believers. Obey immediately. Someone say immediately. Big one. Serve wholeheartedly and pursue His presence daily. If you're just pursuing his presence once a week, you're missing out. Come on, I love this. I was in a meeting yesterday for 5 hours with pastors, and I love, but like my time in the morning when I wake up and I'm alone with the Lord and I have my time, I love that. It all, I love it all. But I don't substitute this for that. Amen? Ask yourself honestly, what have I allowed into my life that's quietly extinguishing the fire? Ask yourself as we look at these altars, what altar have I neglected? What compromise have I tolerated? What distractions have stolen my hunger? And that's not to have a pity party. What does it do? Go back and say, hey, go back and do the things first. Go back and do the things that fan the flame. And come on, the ember is still there. But as you fan the flame, the Holy Spirit will. You ever camping? I love camping. The fire's there. And you know, we went camping. Grant built this big fire and we were there. And I was like, brother, don't burn down the forest, you know? Stack that thing high. But you know, after about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it starts going down. You gotta keep putting fuel on it and keep it going, keep it going. Because if you just lit it there, you have a moment, wow, and then all of a sudden it dies down. Keep putting things on the fire. Keep doing these things so that you can fan the flame. What distraction has stolen your hunger? If we don't guard our heart, we don't guard our fire, what will happen? It will wane in our lives, amen? There's three kinds of people in the room today. Maybe you're here, you've never experienced the fire of God. My prayer is that God would make you hungry today and you would begin to seek the Lord. If you're not filled with the Spirit today, we want to pray for you. That's how it starts, of opening our heart to the Lord and inviting the Holy Spirit to come in and say, I want to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come and fill my life. And he's still filling people today. As we can speak in tongues and we can begin to have the evidence and we can begin to connect with God on a whole nother level. It's the doorway to the supernatural. Others are here. Maybe you used to burn brightly. You had the heydays. Maybe it was the roar of the 90s or the prophetic in the 2000s. Maybe it was the 80s and you were like, couldn't get enough Bible and you listened to cassette tapes nonstop. Come on, I dated myself, but that was the 80s. I mean, we had all those cassette tapes and we had cassettes going all the time in our car and all, you know, all this time, you know, but now we got digital and we don't listen to nothing. We're here. We listen to some personality who gives you one scripture and five poems. It, but somewhere along the journey, things came in. Maybe you had church hurt. There's no such thing as church hurt. I saw her this week. I believe it. It's people hurt. Because the church is God. The church is good. People, you can get hurt by people all the time. And I get hurt at the gas station. Somebody cut in front of me at the line. Took my pump. You know? You can get offended. But don't allow those things to come in. Let's not settle. Let's experience the Holy Spirit. Or maybe the fire is burning in your life. But come on, there's more. God's calling you to burn even brighter. God's called you to not be satisfied with what you have. So the fire that you have doesn't wane, but it gets brighter and brighter.